that I was tuned into, and it's dealing with the reality that songs are preparation. Songs are preparing us, and he did a great job of saying it and acknowledging it, but I'm going to use that to go off and build off this theme of culture. We are using language. We are singing songs that are preparing us, and we are going after things in the spirit that we believe God has called us to establish on earth as they are in heaven. And one of the things that we are called to be is the family of God. We are the body of Christ. We are many members, right? Many members, different parts of the body. And Paul says it this way, that it does you no good to rebuke your hand, to cut off your hand, to cut off your foot, thinking that somehow it doesn't affect the whole body. It absolutely does. And it's not just Echo Hills, it's the body of Christ throughout the world and all the work that God is doing in his people by his spirit. And so as we look at that, I gave you, and Marnie, forgive me if you can quickly find this. If you have a Bible, I want you to look at Ephesians 4, 11 through 16. I want to read these verses with you and set us up for a time of connection and reflection. And so last week we were in these verses, Ephesians 4, 11 through 16. I didn't put them in my slides, but Marnie, if you could throw them up there. We're going to start in verse 11. Again, familiar text if you were with us last week. I want you to see it, and I want you to be reminded and stirred up with hope as we engage in some conversation here. So Paul, again, he's establishing the church. He's establishing a dynamic that is supposed to be the expression of heaven on earth. And there are some key words here that we are focusing in on. And so he starts in verse 11 by saying this. This is out of the New King James Version. He says, "And he himself, Jesus, gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry." So we see this nature of leadership that is supposed to be equipping us. They're not supposed to be doing all the work. Their work is to equip the rest of the body of Christ so that we are all doing the work of the ministry. So there's no excuse. One of the phrases that I've used over the years that God gave me out of a time of journaling and trying to draw nearer to him is this idea that ministry, meaning what we do, and the expression of doing it, ministry, is supposed to be the overflow of our intimacy with him. Meaning that as I connect and commune with God, and we're going to take communion before we're done here this morning, but as I commune with him, as I draw near to him, I get a revelation of what he wants me to go and do. And I activate that revelation by faith through obedience, through study, through getting equipped to go do it. I participate with the Spirit in such a manner that the ministry is the overflow of intimacy. Now, if we get that backwards, we will find ourselves disappointed every single time. Meaning, if we are looking for ministry to somehow make us more intimate with the Lord, what we actually get is a task-oriented, performance-oriented relationship, and that's not what the Lord wants from us. Before Jesus ever did anything, at his baptism, the heavens opened up, and the Lord said, "This is my Son, who I'm well pleased." Before he began his official ministry, the validation of the Father wasn't on what Jesus had done or what he was going to do. It was on who he was, his identity, the Son of God. And the same is true for you and I. And so as we move through this, what we're recognizing is that, Lord, we want to be a place that equips the saints for the work of ministry. The second word here is for the edifying of the body of Christ. This building up of one another, this building up that encourages others to know who they are in Christ. Not just build them up so they go do more work. Listen, we do need some light bulbs changed around here. And Dennis, I don't know if you made it this morning or if you're, yeah, Dennis. Dennis, you know, watched online last week and called and made sure, hey, I can change light bulbs. Amen, that's awesome. But I don't want to just build Dennis up so that he changes more light bulbs. I want to build Dennis up so that he becomes what Christ called him to become. Does that make sense? And yet sometimes we've missed the mark. Sometimes we've established a validation based off of performance more than we have based off the identity that Christ is developing. A lot of times, and I'm guilty of this, and this is that repentance that I was leading us in last week, we will disqualify people because they don't meet our parameters of what we think is valuable, worthy. We dismiss it. And yes, there is need for training, and yes, we need to grow up, and yes, we need to disciple. But at the same time, this is how Jacqueline says it in our house, is, you know, for years she would hear me pray and labor, like, Lord, like, send me the 5-star generals. Send me the people that are perfect. Send me the people that are already trained. Send me the people that got it down. And she would sit there and go, yeah, exactly. She'd sit there and go, Jeff, do you really think God's going to do that? Yes, he better do that, because that's what we need. And then you discover that what he does is he sends you the corporal who's enlisted but doesn't know what they're really doing, and then needs the general, Jesus, to raise them up in your midst so that then they can grow in their authority. And that is very messy and sometimes problematic. But if we're graceful and we're patient, what we discover is that in the midst of it, we create a bond where we see heaven on earth. It goes on to say that as we are edifying the body of Christ till we all come to the unity of faith, this is the goal, that we'd be greater in our faith through the unity, and that the knowledge of the Son of God would be known to a perfect man, to the measure, the stature, the fullness of Christ. Christ is who we are supposed to be beholding. So as you are about to engage in some conversation and answer some questions, know this: I'm not looking for just the tongue-in-cheek answer. Some of you are carrying hurts that these questions are going to trigger, and you might think the person across from you just wants to hear the right answer. Like, oh yes, everything's jolly, and oh yes, I love the church, and oh no, I've never been hurt. But that doesn't do me any good. Because what I'm after is for you to fill this out in such a manner that as we go through these questions, that you would write down one or two words that are a reflection of where you're at in response to the question. That you would listen to someone else. And that when we're all done, that you would be able to take that sheet and you would turn it into me. I don't want your names on it. I mean, it's fine if you do. But as we look at those, what it gives our leadership team, our elders, and our intercessors is a picture of, Lord, where are we going as the family? How are we needing to be equipped? What are the resources in this room that are going to be necessary for the next thing that you ask of us? And if you have a heartache towards some of the questions or an unfamiliarity, this is a great opportunity for some of you to get equipped, be edified, as we come into unity and into greater knowledge of the Son of God. As we come into the stature of Jesus. A few more verses. That we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. These are all the schemes and tactics of the enemy. We looked at this a little bit last year. But here's our posture for this morning. But speaking the truth in love. Listen, if I've offended you, then let's make it right. But if you're telling someone else about offense you have with me and you haven't come to me, then you're not speaking the truth in love. If you're dealing with a hurt and confessing a hurt in some of this dialogue that you have not resolved with the person that actually can make a difference in the change, then again, we're not speaking the truth in love. And I want us to be a house that can move towards speaking the truth in love. And it might take, again, initiating some grace and giving some people some space so that they discover that, oh, you know what? Why don't we go talk to that person? Why don't we reconcile that? And that doesn't exclude the need to have boundaries, and we need to understand that, and we'll be gracious in it. But this is the process that we want to make sure that we're nurturing, so that we may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, that means all of us, nobody's excluded from this, joined and knitted together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share. That's all of us. Every part of the body is doing its share. Causes the growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. So here's the questions. And real quickly, they're in the bulletin. If you don't have a set, I want you to grab some. There's some up on the bulletin. Or up on the bulletin. Up on the, what do you call that? Steps. Yeah, absolutely. So here's these questions. reflecting on the roles mentioned in Ephesians 11, 12, the apostle, prophet, all that, which one are you most familiar with? You would write it down very quickly. Which one are you least familiar with? Which one do you personally identify with most? Meaning, oh, I tend to identify more with the prophetic and the prophets, or the evangelists as evangelizing. Question two. In Ephesians 4, 13 to 15, Paul emphasizes the importance of unity, maturity, and growth in the body of Christ. How can we practically support one another in our journey towards spiritual maturity? Now, you might say Bible study, and that's a great answer. But what do you mean? You might say having a lunch, going to a dinner. Those are great. Give us the responses so that we can begin to filter them through what we hear the Spirit of God saying as he speaks to you. What are some barriers or challenges that may be hindering growth? And this is a two-part question. First, personally, this is going to require some vulnerability. And you don't have to get super vulnerable, but enough to say, hey, these are some things that I think might be hindering me personally. It might be a giant that you heard the Lord speak his name this morning to speak at. The second part of the question is, as a church family, how do we do this as a church family? And then how do we overcome them together? There might be things that I'm not aware of or that our leadership isn't aware of. Or if you've made us aware of it, we haven't paid attention yet and we can begin to address that. The third thing is Ephesians 4:16 highlights the concept of every part doing its share, contributing to the growth of the whole body, the family of God, in love. So how can you actively contribute to the growth and well-being of our church family? Again, I don't need a name. I don't need to know who this is, but I need to be aware and I want to be aware of, Lord, what is it that is in our body that is being offered up to help the growth of the body? And you might say, hey, I'm willing to lead a Bible study. And what I'll do in the next few weeks as I go through this and we bring it to our intercessors and our elders and leaders start to talk about this, there will be opportunities to engage in greater participation because we start to put some form to this. The last three things, the last thing on this is, what steps can you take, you personally? This is examining your role in the body of Christ to fulfill your role more effectively. And I want you to list three things. And here's the beauty of this. Is because there isn't a name attached to this, you and the Holy Spirit need to begin to have a conversation about what does it look like for me to actually take these steps. There'll be opportunities, there'll be call outs, there'll be challenges, but it's about you taking a step. Here's my last point as I'm about ready to release you. I am not looking for answers that are limited to just this room. The Lord may have called you to be a pastor in your workplace, and that is as valid as someone saying, you know what? I think I'm available to change light bulbs. It's not about serving Echo Hills in and of itself. It's about recognizing that you are a son and daughter of a king who is establishing his kingdom on earth, and that through you, he gets to bring an expression of himself. And if we get equipped here and edified here, then we better go out and do the work of the ministry. And so don't limit your responses. And if you hear someone, you might encourage them, well, what does this look like outside of Sunday morning or Echo Hills? What does this look like in your workplace? And so everybody stand up. You'll need a pen. You might have to hunt for one. There's some sheets around. There's some markers. Awesome, Mike. Thank you for that. I want you to turn to groups of three or four, probably no more than that because we can get to talking. I want there to be a holy rumbling, a stirring up of hope. Some of you in the balcony, you can move around if you need to. Everybody, take a deep breath. We're just going to engage, start to ask the questions, and I'll pull you back in about 10 minutes. And we'll see where we're at, and then we'll take some communion. But thank you, thank you, thank you. Let's see where the Lord takes us as we participate and continue to facilitate family. Amen? All right. Everybody go. Don't go get a donut. Don't go get coffee. You don't need to go to the bathroom right now. Turn to a few people. Introduce yourself. Make sure you know each other's names. Go around the circle, begin to answer some of these questions, have a discussion. If you're new to us this morning or come from a different church, again, we still value what you're saying because you're part of the body of Christ. All right. I realize you may not have gotten through all of it. That's okay. Thank you for giving us your time, participating. This is what I'd like us to do as we wrap up this morning, is I'd like for you to take communion. So if you don't have a communion cup, let's make sure you get a communion cup. There's some on the tables. You may have left them at your seat if you wandered away. But the very people that you've been dialoguing with and conversing with and hearing their giftedness and their perspective, these are the ones that God wants us to commune with. Oftentimes, you know, we take communion corporately, and around here we do our best to make sure it's sincere and it's authentic, and you know, we try to really get it family oriented. But communion, when we find it in the Bible, was actually a meal that Jesus was having with his disciples. And in the midst of that meal, he began to show, oh, here you go, Ron. You need? Oh, awesome. Anybody else need? In the midst of that meal, Jesus took the bread and he took the wine and he began to explain that these represent my body and my blood. And that when you eat of it and you drink of it, do it in remembrance of me. And I want you to consider this, that you now have a responsibility to the Lord to steward not just what you know about yourself, but now what you've become aware of in the lives of others. You're not responsible for them, but we are called to a unity of faith. A type of unity that when you look at that person next week or this week when you maybe get together or depending on the fellowship that you have, that you would see yourself as someone called to edify, someone called to equip, someone called to pursue the unity of faith, to recognize that they are viewed by heaven with love. That sound mind we were talking about, when released upon a people group, will change a culture, will bring influence and transformation that we believe we're called to bring to our communities. And we come back together, and we do this in remembrance of him, knowing that all our good works, all our great sacrifices, all our efforts could never meet the requirement that sin and death had. Only Jesus could. So that same thing that you are pursuing, that dream, that desire, the ministry of the Holy Spirit has been poured out in us, upon us, and with us, to go after those things, and we access it through Jesus Christ. And so what you do and how you do communion here in the next few moments, I'll leave up to you. But why you do it, I want to make sure that we're all clear that you and I were never going to be able to do enough ministry, to do enough works, to meet the requirement of sin and death. But Jesus did it for us. Meaning all those hopes, those dreams, those desires, those challenges that you just got done discussing, it is through Jesus Christ that we will see our victory. Amen.